Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Interview with ESPN's Carl Ravage. Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred today addressed the Astros sign-stealing saga and the subsequent fallout. Explained he didn't punish Astros players for their roles in the scheme because that likely would have resulted in grievances from the union, citing the failure by Houston's front office in communicating the 2017 MLB memo outlining the policy on the use of technology. For the Astros to move on past the scandal, there's one thing that must happen, according to Manfred.
The entire organization, starting from the top, owner all the way through the players, to accept responsibility and to apologize not only to their fans, but to the fans across the other 29 teams. And it's hard to deny the fact that that's going to be an ongoing process here. It didn't get done the other day.
That last part referencing Astros owner Jim Crane's attempted apology on Thursday, which Manfred described as not successful. Tune into SportsCenter on ESPN TV throughout the day for more of Carl's exclusive interview with Rob Manfred. A star-studded weekend caps off tonight with the NBA All-Star Game from Chicago, 7:30 Eastern, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. The 2020 NASCAR season kicks off today with its biggest race, the Daytona 500. It'll be the final Daytona 500 for Jimmy Johnson as a full-time driver. He'll start sixth. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is on the pole.
Coming up Monday, the latest from week two of the XFL. Plus, NBA All-Star Weekend recap. What's next in the Major League Baseball sign-stealing scandal? Plus, who won the weekend? Golic and Wingo, Monday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's so tight.
Here we go.
It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On time is tricky.
You know what?
It's tricky. Tricky.
Even
tricky,
cheesy tricky. Run DMC is good. Run DMC. I mean, this one's a little cheesy. I love Run DMC. Play whatever you want.
I got you back here.
Might mix in some My Adidas.
I mean, they were hip-hop all-stars.
Yep. And then when they did the song with Aerosmith, that really put them on more of a national map. I mean, everybody in the rap world, I listened to rap when I was a kid. I mean, stuff you've never probably even heard of. So I knew who they were. But when they made that video with Aerosmith for Walk This Way, that was like, holy cow.
Busting through the wall and everything.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Well, and now they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they are. I saw an interview with Steven Tyler because they had the reunion at the Grammy Awards this year. Run DMC and Aerosmith, they performed together. And people on Twitter were bagging on it. Who wants all these old guys on the stage? I thought it was awesome.
I mean, they're legends.
Yeah.
I feel like those are just all the young kids who don't know who they are. They're like, these guys stink.
If you don't know who they are, that's fine. I don't, like, it was funny watching the reaction shots at the Grammy Awards and other award shows, like Billie Eilish rolling her eyes at different things and other people, because, you know, like, who's this? Oh, my God. What's she, 20? 21? I don't know how old she is.
She is 18.
She's 18?
She just turned 18 not too long ago.
I don't expect her to know who Aerosmith and Run DMC are. Fine. I don't care. Doesn't bother me. Yep, your music is good. I know who you are. I mean, I wouldn't like, select a Billie Eilish song to just listen to. But if it just pops on somewhere, fine. She's doing the theme song for James Bond.
I was just about to say, she for not knowing who they are, she apparently is a big James Bond fan.
I'll bet she hasn't seen one James Bond movie.
Apparently her and her brother have been writing James Bond theme songs for years, trying to get a chance to be on the theme song, which obviously we all know. There's two famous things about Bond: the women,
yeah,
and the theme song.
And the people who play James Bond. And,
well, of course. But like,
and the bad guys. And
yes,
the,
but
it,
the opening theme song is usually like, that's the big, like, ta-da.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's a great thing. And what's funny is her connection, she has been recording with Jack White in the studios, and Jack White was also on a James Bond theme song. So I'm wondering if those two had some sort of connection to get her the theme song.
That has to be... And believe me, we're going to get to Royals. Todd Lebo's running a little bit behind because Royals manager Mike Matheny is running behind. He texted me. He's going to be a little bit behind. But what kind of a power move is it to land the James Bond theme song or the opening song? I mean, there's the standard theme song. But there's an opening song that kind of sets the tone, and it's usually a little weird and crazy. But like Adele has done an opening for James Bond. You mentioned
Jack White. Alicia Keys have done it. Yeah. Madonna has done the opening theme song. I'm a big James Bond fan.
And now, oh, I love James. I cannot wait for the one.
The new one looks yeah. awesome.
Have you seen the trailers for it?
Yes.
He's in the Aston Martin, and he's surrounded by bad guys, and he pops out the old-fashioned guns that come out of the headlights.
Oh, yeah.
And starts doing donuts and mowing everybody down.
Classic.
And did you see the preview of the motorcycle stunt? Where there's like a little bit of a ramp along the side of like a 60-foot wall, and he rides up to the top and jumps over it, and it's unbelievable. Whoever the stunt people are for James Bond, holy smokes.
Right.
Who
I
comes
think Daniel
up with
Craig
that stuff?
Does a lot
as
of
much
it.
As he can.
Yeah. You know, without obviously hurting himself. But yeah, I think the whoever the stunt people are insane.
The one God, you can name off stunts all day. The one in Casino Royale, was it the very beginning where he's chasing the guy through
yeah,
the construction
the free-running
site?
Yeah, the one where they're running yeah. up the construction site and running to the top of the crane
the
and
battling
everything.
On top of the crane?
I mean, that, I would...
It's insane!
Just, I mean, I don't have a fear of heights, but if I was up that high, I'd be looking over like,
if I was Daniel Craig, I'd say, I'm sitting this one out.
Yeah, you got this one.
Oh, you got safety ropes? Yeah, not interested.
Don't care.
Don't care.
Not worth it.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. Now I'm blanking. What's the new one called?
No Time to Die.
No Time to Die. Yeah, I'm excited. I was a little disappointed a couple of years ago when Daniel Craig was talking about not doing it anymore.
Same.
He said, you know, it becomes when you play James Bond for a number of movies, it kind of becomes who you are, and you get pigeonholed. And look, it's probably boring to play the same character over and over and over again, even though they have great storylines and plot lines and all that. But I was glad that. Somebody with the James Bond company, it's the family who owns all the rights to that stuff, and they get to pick who's in all the movies, and they probably came up with a boatload of cash that he couldn't say no to. Like, can you do one more for us?
I always thought that Daniel Craig kind of brought a different kind of mystique to the James
Bond
character. Yeah, a lot darker and a lot more violent.
Yeah.
I thought, because usually they're like, you know, schmoozing the ladies,
right.
And they're all like, ooh, check out my gun, pew, pew, let us go to the room. And,
yeah.
Yeah, but
champagne
this is way
popping.
More like, he loves deeply, and he is a vicious, cold-hearted, I mean,
yeah.
He's a killer.
Yeah. And he's like he's very depressed, too.
Yeah.
They got into his story about being an orphan and all that. I think it's fantastic. I cannot wait for this one. And then I think they picked out the next one, right? It's going to be a woman?
Well, yeah. So
or was that official?
I'm unsure on... originally, when they announced it, they were announcing it as if it was the female James Bond.
Right.
Jane Bond. No, that's probably not her name. But now I'm not sure if they're making it like an offshoot of James Bond.
Oh.
Like it's going to be connected to the James Bond universe.
Okay.
And she is an agent of MI6, and I could be wrong, but that's the vibe that I'm getting. I don't think she's officially going to be a James Bond.
Okay.
Or Jane Bond.
I was so disappointed when Idris Elba said he didn't want to do it.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I thought... What's so funny is when they started talking about that, I immediately threw his name out there.
Yeah.
Back when they were like, hey, we're going to get a new James Bond, I was like, well, if you're gonna change him up and you wanted a black James Bond, boom. Idris Elba's perfect.
I don't even care. I just... He's so good.
Yeah.
God.
And he's already British, which I think most people don't know.
I don't know if I knew much about him before he did The Wire. When he was Stringer Bell, that's where I kind of like watched a lot of Idris Elba. Just thought he was terrific in that. I didn't even know watching The Wire that he was English. His accent
most
is
people,
that good.
I don't think do know because he's always playing American characters. Yeah.
And then he shows up in The Office.
Oh yeah, that was so funny.
It was. To me, it was a little bit like, eh. It kind of, the office hit kind of a down period.
Yeah. There. Well, after Michael left, they were kind of reaching.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey, you do comedy, you can do drama, you can be a hardcore drug dealer. You know, I'm all good. I don't know why. Did he ever say why he wouldn't do James Bond? Was he just not interested in it?
Yeah, I think he just wasn't. He just was like, it's not
something
not
he wants to do.
Cup of tea. But I don't know if he ever gave a specific reason, like I'm already doing another movie or something like that. So
because I'm guessing if you commit to play James Bond, and by the way, this is a sports show, but I like talking James Bond too. That's fine. I'm guessing if you commit to play James Bond, you've got to sign like a 3-picture minimum.
Yeah,
like that.
Who was the only guy to do just one?
The first one was George Lazenby. Timothy Dalton only did one.
Timothy Dalton
did one or two.
I think
he might have done two.
Maybe. I know there
he
was
wasn't
one
good.
That guy that just did one.
Yeah,
and it was like
that was probably the first one.
I mean, obviously, staple Sean. Yeah, I think you have to sign at least a 3 to 4 movie deal.
Yeah, because they got to get you used to people knowing that you're James Bond.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with Pierce Brosnan as my James Bond.
That's a shame.
I didn't think he was that bad.
He's not bad.
He was kind of cheesy, but
I love Pierce Brosnan. But the movies that they put, those Bond movies were not well done. I didn't like the plot lines.
I didn't think that. I mean, the gadgets were kind of cool, but it didn't have the whole like Bond feel to it. It was more like Pierce Brosnan playing James Bond.
Yes, and I love Pierce Brosnan. I go back to when he was on Remington Steele, for God's sakes, when I was a kid. It's an old detective TV show with Stephanie Zimbalist. That's how old I am.
Yeah, totally know
Pierce Brosnan. Yeah. He's good. The movies he did were not.
I liked the girls that were in the movies.
Oh, sure.
It was Denise Richards. Mm-hmm. Was a Bond girl. So.
There was somewhere else I was going to go with that James Bond theme, but oh, well. We have to wait.
Well, we originally started talking about Billie Eilish.
Oh, that's
and how she got the James Bond song, I don't know if you've actually heard the song. It's actually really good.
Yeah, I think it got posted on Twitter this week. I've heard it a little bit. But that's a total power move to get that gig.
Especially after winning 4 Grammys.
Yeah. Hey, I just turned 18. I won 4 Grammys. I'm doing the James Bond theme song. Life's going pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And her brother wrote the songs in their bedroom?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, she's got to be talented of some sort.
Did she get noticed like through YouTube?
That I have no idea.
Because that happens more and more.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I can't get a record company deal? Here, I'm putting it on YouTube.
Well, Justin Bieber. That's how whole Biebs Madness even became a thing. He just started doing things on YouTube. But yeah, I don't know how they were exactly discovered. They just popped up on the billboards one day, and I turned on the radio, and the next thing I know, I hear everywhere.
Yep, it happens. Good stuff. I'm glad we talked about James Bond. This is a huge summer for BP. I just referred to myself by my initials, BP. It's a huge summer for Brad Porter.
No B-Rad?
No.
No B? You don't like B-Rad?
Nope. When I was at Metro Sports all those years, I'm just BP.
Gotcha.
So, this is a huge summer for the movies for BP. You got James Bond coming out, and you got Top Gun Maverick coming out. Totally down for that.
Totally down for Top Gun.
I'm
excited.
Somehow Val Kilmer is going to make an appearance in it. But is it going to be the Val Kilmer that put on a ton of weight? Or maybe the Val Kilmer that got back in shape? And he's had some plastic surgery.
Are they going to do what they did to Val Kilmer, what they did to De Niro in The Gentleman? Just like kind of CGI his body and face? I hope not.
I don't know. I'm excited for Maverick. You've watched the trailer?
Yes. I've only seen a short snippet, but from what I saw, I was like all gung ho for the new Top Gun.
The one clip that's a little bit weird because everybody wants to know are they gonna have another volleyball scene, you know, bonding moment, and in the new one they're gonna be playing football on the beach. It looks like.
Okay.
So that to me that's a little Keanu Reeves. God, now I'm drawing a blank. One of my favorite movies of all.
Oh, The Replacements?
No.
Point Blank.
Yeah, Point Blank. It's a little Point Blank-ish. Playing football on
Surfer
the beach.
Surfer bras.
Yeah. What's up, bruh? Oh, you're Johnny Utah. You tore up your knee in the bowl game, right?
Totes my goats, dude.
I love Keanu Reeves, too. I was talking to... Who was I talking to the other day that has never seen Oh, we were talking about Common. And I was talking about how Common's a really good actor. And I said he was in John Wick. He was in Smoking Aces. And somebody said, no, I've never seen Common in a movie. I was like, what?
He's been in a ton of stuff.
He's really good.
Yeah.
But somebody had not, they've seen, never seen it. Oh, I was talking to Briscoe yesterday. We were out on, we were doing that
Briscoe's
remote.
Briscoe's uncultured.
We were out at the remote at the golf show out of the Overland Park Convention Center, still going on today, by the way. And I had mentioned that Common was in Smoking Aces, which is terrific, and John Wick. And Briscoe hadn't seen either of the first two John Wick movies. I'm like, I love the John Wick movies.
I've only seen the third one. Because it's been on HBO lately.
Okay.
But I'd like to, after seeing the third one, I definitely want to go watch one and two.
Okay, so I will give you a message over the air. Todd Lebo just texted me and said Mike Matheny comments are being sent to you as we speak. So have that ready, and then hopefully Todd will call in here momentarily. And we'll talk Royals and spring training and things other than Houston Astros, but we will have to touch on that. See, I got to send him a message while I'm on the air saying call us when ready. That really doesn't make for good radio when you're trying to send a text message when you're live, but that's okay. So let's do this. Let's take our break early, and then we'll bring back Todd Lebo. We'll hear from Salvador Perez. We'll hear from Mike Matheny. And probably a couple other things as well. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming out of my cage, and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be down because I want it all. It started out with a kiss, had it ended up like this. It was only a kiss. It was only a kiss. When Josh Briscoe and Rudy Salazar and I were out at the golf show yesterday at the Overland Park Convention Center, they played the Killers overhead, which I thought was a different choice, but I liked it. I hadn't heard the Killers in a long time, so I'll take it. Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. We got about 40 minutes left in the show. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the action. We're awaiting on one Mr. Todd Lebo. It's Todd Lebo. He's good? Locked in?
Hello, Brad.
Oh, we got him on the line. Hey, Todd, how are you this morning?
Oh, we're beautiful out here, buddy. Yeah, the sun is shining in Arizona. And the pitchers and catchers are here. They're going to have a pretty short day today. Full squad reports tomorrow. We just had a chance to talk to Mike Matheny, which we'll play for you here at some point before you're off the air. And, you know, spring training hadn't started yet. No one's won or lost a game. I think there's some excitement out here with these guys. You know, I mean, they're excited to be here. I mean, had a chance to talk to some of the younger players who haven't been a part of Major League spring training. So this is fun for them. I mean, this is their dream, is to make the major leagues, and step one is to come to Major League spring training and be on the fancy side of the clubhouse, not the minor league side of the clubhouse. So it's pretty cool out here.
The minor league side doesn't have quite as much individual space for the
Correct.
Players. For the
different.
Players. For the players. We're talking with Todd Lebo. He's live from Royal Spring Training in Surprise, Arizona. Todd, I was joking earlier in the show. I've been begging Chad the last 2 years to send me to spring training. It hasn't worked out. And I said, you know, Lebo goes to the Super Bowl 1 week. He goes to spring training. He probably just has a private jet fueled up at the Lee Summit Airport to go to all these big functions.
Well, we flew on Southwest out here, man. We didn't use the private jet.
That's okay.
Seren Petro, Ali Trost, and I, we had a row to ourselves.
There
we put
you go.
Ali in the middle because she's like a small child. So we had a fun little trip out here last night and got in here today. And it, like I said, it's relaxed. I mean, spring training's relaxed.
Yes.
It just is. Baseball is a long, long season, and spring training is pretty long, really, when
yep.
you think about it. You know, the pitchers and catchers showed up on the 12th. And they will play a real game, on March 26th, right? So they're out here for a long time,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, practicing, having the little games and stuff. So it's pretty relaxed and chill. It'll be pretty fun tomorrow when the whole squad gets here. They're expecting everyone to be here. And they told the position players, a lot of them have already been out here. They told them not to come around today. Just, you know, this is going to be kind of a relaxed day for them. And the pitchers and catchers are here. They're going to be working out for the next probably really just an hour and a half or so. They're going to be done by noon timeout here.
Okay.
And then they want them to kind of go home and relax a little bit, get themselves refreshed when everyone shows up on Monday.
Maybe play a little golf. I'm going to get into the Houston Astros at some point because everybody has to talk about it. But let's hit the Royals first, since that's why you're there, to cover the Royals. Kind of we heard Salvador Perez's comments this week about being 90% and that sort of thing. You guys had a chance to talk to him today. I've never seen Salvi in a bad mood. I'm assuming he's just bouncing around the clubhouse like a kid, like he always does.
Yeah, he's super excited to be back at it, and I don't know, have you played any of what we sent you back already?
We have not. I was waiting for you to come on the air.
Yeah, we can play some of it now. Okay. If you have some ready, I'll let Salvi do a little talking for himself. But he's excited to be here. Obviously, that was a monstrous blow to this team last year. You know, when it became determined that he was going to have surgery, he's been such a catalyst for this organization. And when they were already going to be a young team that was going to struggle to win games, and you take away your cornerstone, that was a monstrous deal for this team. That was no doubt about that. And he's had a couple of those times. Remember, it was just a couple of years ago where he hurt his knee carrying the suitcase up the day before opening day. That set the team back. He had another leg injury, gosh, before they actually made the playoffs, maybe 12 or 13, when he was hurt and they missed the beginning of the year. He's a catalyst, no doubt, for this team. So he's excited to be back for sure, and we had a chance to talk to him a little bit. And if Blake wants to go ahead and roll that, here's a little bit of Salvador Perez meeting with the media today out here in Surprise, talking about his health and kind of where he stands.
Yes. Great. I feel great. 100%. Almost a green line. I think you guys hear from the report from Dr. Alatrash. It was a great meeting. You know, he still want me to do something, but I'm about to have a green light and be like a normal player.
You think you'll be like 100% all through camp here? Or you'll be ready to go out and do everything right away?
I don't think right away, you know. I have a couple more things. First, I got to wait to the year, you know. On March 6th, I'm going to be a year. And after that, I think I have another meeting with Dr. Alatrash to see what's going on. And after that, they're going to make a decision. But I think I'm going to be 100% for the season.
What sort of throwing have you been doing? Just soft stuff?
No, every other day. 3 days ago, I started to throw to the base, and I feel great. I don't feel anything in my arm. You know, I think I'm kind of different. A lot of people tell me, you're going to feel maybe sore in the morning or stiff, or you're going to feel, you know, something not good in your elbow, but I feel very good, so I don't feel anything.
Have you let one loose yet? I mean, really, really fired it down there?
Yes.
And
hard to. So get ready, guys.
Tell me about the relationship with Matheny so far.
Well, that's Royals catcher Salvador Perez talking about what he's been able to do working out so far. And Todd, he said he was able to fire it down to second base, which is a really good sign.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Mike Matheny, we had a chance to talk to him, too. And he obviously was a catcher for a long time in the major leagues. And he says Salvi's really been – you need to have a good patient in these situations. You know, you have to follow what the doctor said. And the doctor, the protocol they've given him, Salvi has followed it. He hasn't tried to do too much. And that's an important part as well, because you need to make sure you follow what they do. I mean, they've got a lot of science on this stuff now, a lot of data about how to go about doing these things. And they say they've done a nice job with it. And he will go visit with his surgeon on March 6th. That will be his one-year anniversary. But Mike Matheny says they're feeling like he's going to be on track. There shouldn't be an issue unless there's some sort of major setback, that he'll be the opening day catcher and will be able to do whatever they'd like him to do.
All right, let's go ahead and roll Mike Matheny, his comments from literally just a couple of minutes ago in Surprise, Arizona. Blake says, no, we're not ready for that yet. Okay, we'll get to it. But Mike Matheny, you know, it was interesting, Todd. I got to talk to him at Royals Fan Fest, and I think he's a really smart, intelligent dude. I mean, you don't make it this far in this business if you're not. And I asked, one of the things I asked him was about analytics and embracing kind of the new way of, you know, how baseball is going about using numbers to their advantage. Because he was seen when he left the Cardinals as being kind of stubborn and didn't want to do it. And he spent the offseason going to classes to learn how to decipher the information and dispense it into what they're trying to do on the field.
Yeah, he's gotten into the analytics a little bit, and you know, we'll see. Now, listen, the Royals have done some analytics, okay, but they haven't been cutting edge on this stuff. And, you know, Dayton Moore,
We'll have a chance to sit down with him at some point here. I know Seren will get him out, and we'll have him on and have a real in-depth conversation about this. They've come around a little bit to it, but I don't think this is going to still be something that this is the most important thing they do is the analytics stuff, like how to position players and how to do the lineup. I still think this will be more of a scouting feel, you know, traditional baseball team. That's just kind of the feel I get at this point. We'll see. You know, maybe – after being out here for a few days and watching them participate a little bit in the games, maybe it'll change. Perhaps it will, but I still think this will be a slow turning ship, right? As far as those things go with the Royals, I don't see them making a monstrous sea change really quickly, because what they've proven, Brad, is they went out and won the World Series a different way.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
They did. And they beat some teams who did it the other way during that run. Now listen, they have had a struggle the last, you know, couple years for sure, and they haven't done things like starting with the opener, you know, the way Tampa's done,
right,
with the small market payroll and things like that. We'll see. I mean, Ned kind of hinted at it a little bit last year. Dayton hinted at it a little bit last year, but they never really pulled the trigger on it. So maybe those will be things that they do at some point this year, but those answers are probably a little bit away with this team.
All right, Blake, let's go ahead and hear from Royals. Oh, we're still not ready on that? Sorry, Todd, it's taking time to download.
It is. He talked for quite a while, so it'll take a little second for that stuff to get downloaded.
I did like, you know, for the last year and a half, he's been a special advisor to Dayton Moore. And I think most of us thought, oh, well, he's the next manager of the Royals if Ned Yost ever retires. And sure enough, that was the case. And it was kind of a mixed reaction. You know, he had a great record in St. Louis, but maybe the clubhouse wasn't that great. But he spent his time, as I said, going to these analytics classes. And one of the interesting things he brought up at FanFest was, he flew around the country during the offseason to meet with guys. Like, I want to get to know who you are. I want to get to know your family. And Alex Gordon spoke very, very highly of him. And that's not something you have to do, but it's probably a really good idea. And I thought that was a good first step with him and his players.
Yeah, you want to meet these guys because he spent a lot of time. He knows a lot of these minor leaguers because he spent a lot of time running around last year as the special advisor. He met some of those guys, and he was looking towards the future. But he needed to meet people like Alex Gordon and get around them because he intentionally wasn't around the big league club. He wasn't hanging out in the clubhouse,
right,
or anything.
You can't do that.
Because that was not his team.
Yeah.
That was Ned's team. So, yeah, he needed to kind of go out and find those guys and talk to them and meet them a little bit and kind of tell him what he's about. Because, you know, as these teams played each other, here and there, right, because the Royals and Cardinals play every year. It's a couple of times. It's usually a little two-game series and a three-game series. You don't really get to know them, and you're not sharing a spring training complex with them because the Cardinals are in Florida.
Right.
So this is a pretty foreign, you know, group of folks to him, and, you know, the major league level for sure. So I think he's done all of those things. I like him. I like his attitude. I like his calm demeanor at this point. It's been a change. You know, we had Ned Yost for so long with the Royals. This is a change for the organization, for sure, to have someone different at the helm. And it's a change for, you know, us as media people to be around someone who's not Ned, which is a little bit different. We'll see the personality a little bit and how that goes as we get through the season.
All right, Todd, I'll just give you a heads up on the air. We've had to do this a couple of times today. There's an issue with the Mike Matheny sound, so we'll try to get that fixed. The Gremlins have been at work here today, so
that happens sometimes.
It's been a day like that. What I love about spring training is finding new stories or covering old territory with guys I've known for a long time. And going into the spring training, I was really looking forward to stories about, you know, Greg Holland trying to add another year or two to his career. I don't know how much he has left. Vahe Gregorian wrote another great story about Bubba Starling. It seems like we've been talking about this for 10 years, and it's getting close to 10 years. And, you know, is Kyle Zimmer going to be healthy? Plus, you know, the new guys they've added, the battle at first base. But what's infiltrated all of baseball, and it's not going away because the Houston Astros keep stepping on rakes with comments. And you've heard Whit Merrifield make some very strong comments about it. I heard Danny Duffy's comments yesterday saying he's disappointed with everything that's happened. And I'm not sure when this finally goes. I don't know if it ever,
yeah,
this is ever
in,
going away for
going.
The remainder of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing for them for sure. Now, and you know, when all the position players show up tomorrow, we'll talk to a lot of them about it. Now, some of these guys weren't around when the Royals were, you know, playing against the Astros.
Right.
You know, 17. We talked to Salvi a little bit about it, and, you know, he was he didn't remember hearing any drum or, you know, trash can banging. Who knows? I mean, but some of the guys are going to not say much because they don't want to cause any waves, and some of the guys will have some strong opinions. But they're going to get asked about it a bunch, and Carlos Correa continues to come out every day and talk about it in Houston, you know, in Florida where they are.
Yep.
So it's going to be a story. It just absolutely is going to be a story because this is not just some team. This was a team that won the World Series and then, you know, played in the playoffs the next year and then played in the World Series the next year. And players come and go on these organizations, and it seems a little disingenuous to think that they were doing something once and just quit doing it. But that's just me talking.
Yeah, and look, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'll just ask you one more thing because we talked about it a lot in the last hour, and I kind of went overboard a little bit because I'm just kind of ticked off. You know, the Astros come out every day and say something new and stupid. But for Whit Merrifield, a player that, you know, fought his, you know, a long time in the minor leagues, almost quit the game. His dad talked him back into it. He got a call up in 14 and 15, but didn't get a play and didn't get a ring, and he was very disappointed about that. It came up and fought his ass off, got a big contract. He's led the majors in hits twice, and it's guys like that who just fight and battle to hold on and try to build some kind of a career that got to be feeling like, those guys tried to take something from me. And I totally get the way Whit Merrifield feels about that.
Yeah, for sure, because he's got a different path than a lot of these guys, you know. That's the deal. He didn't get, you know, $3 million signing bonus
right
out of college and just get to walk right in. So he had to earn it the hard way. And, you know, and some of it's sour grapes. You know, you've got this guy suing the Houston Astros from the Blue Jays.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere.
He felt that that's one of the reasons he didn't have the chance. It could be, though. I mean, you go out and this guy's toast. He gave up four hits and, you know, at a third of an inning or something like that. Were you cheating to get there? I don't know if every single at-bat is tainted. You know, Correa yesterday was saying that Altuve never wanted it. He didn't cheat. He played clean. But it was funny to hear Correa yesterday go through the kind of the play-by-play of the World Series in 17, you know, there was a man on second on this one. Everyone steals signs on second base, blah, 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 you know, and then we did this at home and this on the road. But the point I have with him is, how did the guy get on second? Did he cheat to get on second?
Right.
Did he know a breaking pitch was coming? Is that why he got a double to get there? You know, the justifications probably should stop for them because they're not looking good. Yeah, they got to stop the justifications.
No, every day it's something stupid, and they're only making it worse. And then the commissioner has to come out again and tell the Astros, especially their owner, that you did a terrible job in explaining yourself. So, anyway, the Astros will be in Kansas City May 4th, 5th, and 6th, and then Kansas City goes to Houston a week later. So we'll see what happens. Well, one of the interesting storylines, Greg Holland. Look, I'm not saying he's not even guaranteed a roster spot. I think he's on a minor league deal with a bonus if he makes it. I'm not sure how much he has left in the tank, but it is kind of nice to see a guy who was here for the biggest moments of the last, you know, 30 years, and then he's been gone now for, gosh, 3 years, and he's had some struggles, had some injuries, and now he comes back, and it'll be interesting to see how he fits in, because there are some guys on this roster that he had some pretty special moments with.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, there's a lot of those parts that are going to be weird to see. Now, who knows who's going to, you know, make the roster, right? But they're here now, and
right,
see if he can kind of fire their way through and get there. But I don't know what will happen with a lot of these players, because here's the good and the bad thing about when you're trying to be a Kansas City Royal when they've lost 100 games in a row. You got a chance to make it, right?
Yep, absolutely.
If you were someone who was hurt and out of baseball. But if you make it, maybe that's not the greatest thing for the Royals, because they want to have some different players and younger faces. I think this is going to be a trying season again. I can't imagine this team is going to make a monstrous jump forward. But maybe we'll be surprised. I think in a couple of years, they like a lot of these young pitchers, but I don't think they're expecting people like Jackson Coar and Brady Singer to be a part of anything going on this year, especially early. They'll have to kind of piece it together, and that's kind of what they'll do. They need to have guys like Brad Keller and Jake Junis make steps forward. You know, they show promise, but they have to be something now. You can't just kind of be a guy, right? You can't be someone who is, you know, good for three innings and has that bad blow-up inning, or, you know, can't get through five or six innings. Those guys need to make steps forward, and they've shown some promise. If those things happen, maybe this can be more of a competitive team.
Well, it'll certainly be interesting. I have a different look with a different manager and perhaps a different style. Speaking of the manager, Blake tells me now we actually have Mike Matheny. We've been teasing it for 10 minutes. So here's
we've got it.
Here's Royals manager Mike Matheny from today in Surprise, Arizona.
Good to see everything well.
Yes, absolutely.
Good to see you.
You bet.
1-2.
All right, guys. Scheduling a B game.
Lebo, go ahead, man.
Maybe just start something. We haven't been here. Oh, you guys, pitchers and catchers here. You get the full squad tomorrow. I mean, just how's things gone so far?
Been really impressed. It starts back, you know, early in the month, and actually all winter long. How many guys, you know, made the decision to be here most of the off season, and then get an early start in February to feel like we're kind of ahead. Feel like we got a good look at a number of these guys. You know, it's always nice when you can get to games and you know that everybody's kind of gone and gone off the mound enough and been able to work on some of the small things that we need to see. So exactly where you'd hope we'd be right now.
We had a chance to talk to Salvi a little bit in there. He says he's feeling pretty good. He's still not a year out from his surgery. What have you seen from him so far? And have you had to kind of hold him back at all? I mean, no, he's anxious and wants to get out there and do a lot.
No, he's been really smart, and we were able to go over and see Dr. Eletrage, who did the procedure, and kind of just let him be the voice to Salvi. And he and Salvi have been in great communication. He understands that you know, there's some things that we want to minimize the work. It's not actually the workload as much as the amount of stress and the frequency of it. And so how can we work smarter to take some of that load off of that arm? And I think we've got a nice plan in place, and he's been able to do everything that you would want to see him do. I think he's even a little bit ahead as you kind of have that throwing progression. I mean, you push it pretty hard, and his arm looks great. We just want to try and kind of monitor that workload.
You've dealt with pitchers your whole career as a manager or as a catcher who've had something like that done. Pretty rare for a catcher or a position player to do it. Has it been a little bit different dealing with someone who's got a different job, I guess, and what they have to do with the elbow surgery?
Well, there's so much protocol now that you kind of have a pretty good idea, even positionally. There have been enough catchers who've gone through this. Here's what's worked. It's been successful. Let's kind of follow that template. And certainly with the pitchers, you have the same thing, where they should be, what the measurements ought to look like. And there's just enough technology to kind of let us know that they're progressing where they should be. And Salvi has checked every box along the way and exactly where he wants to be and rewarded for all the effort that he and this training staff have put in.
Mike, you got him. Go ahead, Rob.
No, so we talked to Woods earlier, and yesterday he said he was happy skipping in here, coming to work. Talk about the Rule 5 draft and how hard it is really hit on a guy like they did Keller a couple years ago.
I think you know, we trust our scouts. We've got a talented group of people out there watching day in, day out, looking for little things. And there were certainly some things that we had seen in Steven's game that would lead you to believe that he could potentially help us out. So let's take a shot. And once again, Brad's always that good. Let's go back and not forget the guy who threw opening day last year is a guy that we got in that Rule 5 draft. So is there something that we can do? Something that we can see, and then give them an opportunity to come out and compete. This is a great, I don't know of a better place for a guy like a Steven Woods Jr. to be than right here, right now, to come in here and show what he can do and see if he can find a spot on this club.
You've got an impressive group of young pitchers, and I know you're just getting started, but how do you divide your time up on taking a look at them? And, you know, particularly that one draft class is probably they're not going to break this year, but how much time do you invest in them right now?
Well, I'm all about pitching this time of year. I mean, we schedule everything out, make sure the position players are getting their time as well, and let the coaches run with what needs to be done there. And even with the drills, we're doing circuits where the guys are getting reps. But when the players hit the mounds and these young guys are right in the middle of them, and I watch every single bullpen, try to watch every live. The lives I don't see out here, we'll watch inside on video. And paying just as much attention to them, but excited like everybody else. But there's a number of these players I haven't been able to see and put them into these competitive situations and watch how they respond. It's fun for me, and it's fun for them. They're showcasing it on the biggest stage available right now, and they're going to be showcasing against some of the best talent there is in the game. So it's a great opportunity, great growth chance, and just come in and shine and show what you can do.
To Todd's point about Salvi coming back from injury, is there a line that, you know, he really needs X amount of times? And we always talk about how long the pitchers need to get ready. Is there an amount of time he needs to be ready to go on opening day to where he's a full go for at least 4 weeks, 2 weeks? Is there some number that in your head that he needs to be the opening day guy and playing every day?
Well, right now everything's tracking towards him being ready for opening day. So, you know, you're always cautious just to make sure nothing happens. But it could happen with any guy out here, whether they've just had a procedure or not. You just were aware and want to keep him moving on that track. But he and Mondesi both, who we haven't even brought up here. I mean, he's going to go see his surgeon also here real soon just to make sure that things are progressing the way that they should. But Salvi's progressing. You go watch him. He's doing everything everybody else is doing. I mean, he's throwing, he's blocking, he's receiving. We're just going to monitor the volume. And the volume might not necessarily, once again, it doesn't necessarily mean innings caught. It means how do we take care of maybe some of the extra work, some of the extra throwing, maybe some of the bullpen work where it's volume of throws more so than volume of innings. Because I know this guy, what motivates him is to be out there. And so we'll listen to what the medical team has to say and figure out how to navigate through that to get this guy on the field as often as we can, as soon as we can. But they'll also help us out. They'll help us know that.
And I apologize if you've covered this, but being here the first day, talking to you, the whole Astros sign stealing, as a guy who's been in the game, right, been around it, do you have just an overall thought and reaction to everything that's going on now, all the back and forth and the comments? And I guess Carlos Correa is going to talk again today. And so do you have any reaction?
I'm glad it's not happening here. Not happy for the game. I mean, it's just a black eye that the game doesn't necessarily need right now. And I believe and I know that the commissioner is all over this, and he's putting a lot of time and resources into getting to the bottom of it to figure out how it doesn't happen again. And so our job in here is to continue just to try and do the right thing, continue to understand, you know, things can happen quick if you're not staying on top of them. And what do we need to do to make sure we're representing the game in the right way? What are we ambassadors for the game and for the Royals brand? I think that's our focus. And then, you know, learn from what's happened in the past.
Good. All right, that's Royals manager Mike Matheny from just a few minutes ago at Royal Spring Training in Surprise, Arizona, speaking with Todd Lebo and Soren Petro. Todd, I'm convinced Soren's voice is never going to be 100% again. It's almost thready.
Well, he had a big girls' basketball game yesterday. He was coaching.
Oh, okay. So that'll get you.
We're gonna fix him up today.
Okay. Well, we're coming up on our final break here. So let me leave you with two fun things as you get ready for a wonderful week in Surprise, Arizona. Two non-Royals related things. One, I know your kids are out of high school, and I think your daughter was on the robotics team, right?
Yeah, both my kids were, yeah.
Okay, so my sophomore is, he does cross country and track and field, and this is the first year he's doing speech and debate. And they had a tournament in St. Louis this weekend, and they came back last night, and I had to drive up to school at 3 o'clock in the morning to pick him up.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the latest you ever had to drive to school to pick up one of your kids?
Well, one of the weird ones we had was a robotics tournament in Peoria, Illinois. And my wife and I drove separately, and they were on it. They had a big charter bus. It was a nice bus. And we were ahead of them, but that was one of those days where the ice and the snow was coming down.
Oh, man.
Eventually, we made it through I-70, but they closed I-70. So the Team Titanium Robotics team spent the night on the bus in the Wentzville, Missouri Walmart parking lot.
Oh.
So they didn't actually get back till the next day at about noon. But we were like, I don't know when they were going to get in. We were happy they did the smart thing and pulled over to the side of the road before they even closed I-70. We were one of the last cars through. My wife really wanted us to stop and get a hotel room somewhere. I'm like, I'm powering through, man. Don't tell me that. So we drove about 25 miles an hour down the middle of I-70. It was crazy.
Of course.
Yeah, that can definitely happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I kept everyone safe the best I could.
Okay, final fun question for you. Again, non-Royals related. Many people here at Sports Radio 810 WHB not only love Sporting KC, but we have a favorite English soccer team. Mine is Liverpool, and we are going to win the league title for the first time in 30 years. I know you're a fan of Chelsea, right?
Yep, yep. I saw two Liverpool, jerseys and stuff in the Phoenix, Arizona airport yesterday. Everyone's on the Liverpool bandwagon right now.
How do you feel about Manchester City being suspended for the next 2 years from Champions League?
Yeah. You know, they got some rules over there.
A few.
They got some rules. So, it's some of these things, if you get in enough financial trouble, they'll put you into it's like administration or something where the government takes over your finances.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can get relegated and all this. So it'll cost Manchester City a lot of money, for sure, to not be in Champions League, because that's where a lot of the dough is. But, yeah, I mean, they clearly were – it's like you see around here. The Astros are in trouble. They were cheating,
mm-hmm.
right? So
yep.
they fined them. They didn't take anything away. They didn't say they couldn't play. But some of these leagues are trying to kind of hammer that stuff out. It's really hard in Europe because you've got your own – group that's in charge of you, your Premier League or La Liga or Serie A or whatever, but then Champions League's in charge of all of you.
Yeah.
So you got to follow the rules, and they got caught, but people thought they'd been cheating for a while.
Yeah,
so,
that's right. As a Liverpool fan, I'm happy.
That's what happens.
I get sick of the arrogance of Manchester City. So anyway,
yeah, you're just happy. They can't mess this up, right?
No.
They can't mess it up.
I don't.
Liverpool's failed before, but they can't mess this one up. It's done.
They might have to lose out, and that's just not humanly possible for a team this ridiculously talented. So,
yeah, probably not going to happen.
Hey,
they're
Todd.
Finally going to get another championship.
Yes, absolutely. Todd, thank you for joining us. And I know you and Seren and Allie Trost are going to do a great job this week covering the Royals at spring training. Enjoy the weather. And the one thing that lets me know that you're actually where you say you are is I can hear birds in the background, and at some point I will hear the fighter jets.
You'll hear a jet. It's Sunday. The fighter jets will be going over for sure during the shows the next few days. They'll be out and about.
Hey, Todd, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
See you later.
All right, that is Todd Lebo joining us live from Royals spring training in Surprise, Arizona. Yeah, you hear the birds in the background. That's spring training. That's in there. They got a bunch of trees around the Royals complex, and you always hear the birds, and then you'll hear the fighter jets from Luke Air Force Base. Man, it's impressive. They mean, I'm sure I don't know what their altitude limit is, but it feels like they come right over the top of the stadium. I mean, it's low, and it's impressive. I mean, you could read like the serial numbers underneath on the air. I mean, it's impressive. Those men and women who fly those fighter jets, unbelievable. On that note, we will take our final timeout, and we'll come back and wrap up hour number three and wrap up our show and get you ready for a full day of Daytona 500 coverage and tonight's NBA All-Star game, only right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Little B-52s dropping in. I like that. No pun intended, B-52s dropping in. That's a good one. That's a song that makes you feel good. Like, I'm happy now. Love Shack. All right. Just wrapped up with Todd Lebo live from Royal Spring Training in Surprise, Arizona, where once again, they're asked about everything. Salvador Perez talking about his injuries, talking about the Rule 5 draft pick they got. But, again, it had to be Mike Matheny was asked about the Astros. That's just the way it's going to go for a while. And Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, as he called out Jim Crane, the Astros owner, for that horrible press conference the other day. I don't know what else they're supposed to do. The Astros are going to keep saying stupid things as long as you let them. And that's on them. Nobody can help them. They're not going to help themselves. Nobody else is going to. It's going to be a very long season. So we had Todd Lebo on the show in the first hour of the show, all the way back at 9 o'clock. We had Ben Kercheval from CBSSports.com, covers the XFL. The first two weekends have gone very well for the league. Their attendance has been good. Their TV ratings have been good. People betting on games have been above expectations. I don't bet on sports. I make predictions here and there. I couldn't bet on a sport that I know nothing about. And not saying I don't know anything about the XFL. I don't know a lot of the players. I don't know how the coaches are going to work this. Plus, you have the weird rules. After a touchdown, you can go for a one-point play, a two-point play, or a three-point play. The kickoff rules are different. I don't know how you intelligently wager on something like that. So I just wouldn't do it. So thanks to Ben for coming on the show. By the way, 80s birthdays today. I always like to throw this out because I find him on old school 80s on Twitter. 80s birthdays today. These are people who came to fame in the 80s, 90s, whatever. Andy Taylor from Duran Duran, 59 years old today. Ice-T, 62 years old today. Love me some Ice-T. William Catt, the greatest American hero, TV show that was probably way before your time, Blake. He is 69 years old. One of the greatest theme songs of all time. LeVar Burton, Star Trek Next Generation, and what was the show he had on PBS? Was it Reading Rainbow? Something like that. He is 63. Jordy LaForge is 63 years old today. How about that? And John McEnroe. Are you serious? Are you serious? John McEnroe is 61 years old today. I thought he might be a little bit older than that. So the rest of the day here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, coming up right now at noon, ESPN National will have it. I'm sure they'll be talking more about the Astros, and they'll be talking a lot about the NBA All-Star Game tonight. So that's at noon here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Then at 1 o'clock, it's Daytona 500 pre-race coverage. At 1:30, the race actually starts somewhere around there. And that'll take a couple hours, and then that rolls into tonight at 7 o'clock, the NBA All-Star Game, live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Blake, are you taking in some NBA All-Star Game? I'm guessing you are.
I will probably definitely be watching, yes.
Okay, absolutely. Outstanding. All right, that's going to do it for our show. Thanks to Blake Schneiders for running it today. My name is Brad Porter. Enjoy the day today. The sun is out, and it's going to be 50 degrees in Kansas City. Enjoy it. We'll see you next time. Stick with us, and have a great day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.